Pastor Amanda, one of the pastors here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. I'm glad you found us online and decided to worship with us today. Today's message is a special one for our next-gen students graduating 5th grade, 8th grade, and 12th grade. We think that it's important to recognize these milestones for our families with students in these grades because we think milestones matter. This year, I actually have a graduate of my own in my family to celebrate. That's right, my daughter is graduating preschool. And there's already been graduation pictures, there's a forthcoming graduation ceremony, cap and gowns, the whole deal. And in my experience, there are two reactions to a preschool graduation, an eye roll and an awe. An eye roll, if you're an eye roll, I get it. I've been there. It's like, come on, who is this graduation for, the parents or the kids? Is this like participation trophies? Like, good job, you went to the childcare that you were signed up to go to every day? Are we just like suckers for Etsy and Instagram making us feel like failures as parents if we don't like throw a themed party for every turn of our kids' childhood? Does this somehow like make the later graduations, like a high school and a college, less meaningful? Like, what is the deal with these preschool graduations? But then there's the awe of the grandparent who knows that these moments are fleeting, and that every ounce of delight in your child's childhood is worth it. The awe of the parent who was always busy at work, always traveling, stuck at the office, missing the little moments and some of the big ones. The awe of the parent of young adults who knows that it goes pretty fast from preschool graduation pictures to college diplomas, and these parents wouldn't take back a single extra celebration or family photo. One of the things that I love about church is that it brings all of these different generations together. And what happens is there's this transfer of perspective. We have this borrowed joy when we do life together from multiple different generations. As a mom of littles, I can't always tell how fast it's going. These days seem long most of the time. But I can lean on and be encouraged by the perspective of moms, of teenagers and young adults and fully grown adults. That gift of perspective is invaluable. And it's one of the things that I think the church gives that not every community you find will. Over the years, this value has bubbled up for us when it comes to our next gen special events. Whether it's our Christmas program or our Valentine's Day program, our Easter egg hunt, or even this graduation Sunday, it's this value that we are a place where families can celebrate milestones and make memories together. And we have an incredible team of volunteers who are leaders who support the ministries of PRPC Next Gen. They help us do just that. Help us celebrate milestones and create memories together. So I just want to say a special thank you to all of our PRPC Next Gen volunteers who make our ministry possible. To every leader who has stepped in to lead a small group, who has opened their home to a small group dinner, who's given a weekend to come up to camp, or has spent a week sleeping on an air mattress so we can go on a mission trip. Every minute that you have spent with our students, every time you have said yes to doing one more thing you didn't have to do, you have shown our students what the love of God is like. God's love is unconditional and unending. God's love is personal and powerful. God's love is in the tiny details and the big feelings and everything in between. And when you say yes to standing in with the next generation as they grow in their faith, you are the embodiment of God's love to them. There is no higher calling for followers of Jesus than to share God's love with people who need it. And the next generation needs it. Our scripture passage today comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Paul is writing a letter from prison, but he is writing to a group of Christians, to a church that he has helped start in Ephesus. Ephesus was a big city, and it was the center for worship for Greek and Roman gods. And Paul went there to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Remember, the disciples were sent out. They were commissioned with this message to share with the whole world about who God is and what Jesus has done. And so Paul took that message to all different communities who had never heard about God's love for them. And they took this message that God's love was for everybody. The big theme in Ephesians is unity in God's family. Paul is writing to that community to remind them that through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God ushered in a new world order, a new family, a new way of life. And as followers of Jesus, we are invited into that new life with him. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says, "You were dead through your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the ruler of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in passions of our flesh, doing the will of our flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everybody else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead through trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. Not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them." You were dead inside. That's basically what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, to all those Gentiles, and to all of us listening today. You are dead inside. You were trying everything and getting nowhere. You were following after all kinds of impulses and authority figures, feelings, and ending up empty. What you were chasing wasn't worth it, and what you were giving your life to wasn't life-giving. You were stuck. We all were stuck. Scripture will often hold up a mirror and reveal something we don't want to see. And if you started to clam up and feel a little uncomfortable and anxious as I was reading those words from Ephesians 2, it is really uncomfortable when someone exposes some truth about us that we are not ready to face. And Scripture often does that for us. We don't like admitting when we don't have it all figured out. We don't like that there might be something missing in our lives. We don't like that we can't control or hustle or manifest our way into a fulfilling life. Paul isn't trying to shame us, even though we might feel exposed. What Paul is really trying to help us do is release our tight grip on our lives and give in to God's grace. He wants us to live fully in this new reality that Jesus brings. It's like he's saying, sure, you were dead in your sins, but God, look what God has done. You have been saved by grace, and you had nothing to do with it. You couldn't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's just a gift. It's grace. In my experience, the more successful we are, the less we understand grace. We're conditioned to strive, to compete, to not trust our internal worth until it's validated externally. It's like the math just doesn't seem to math for us when it comes to God's grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing, it's a gift from God." And if you've been around our student ministry, you know it's become a little bit of a motto for us at PRPC and Next Gen, but we say it this way: Jesus loves you. You've been saved by grace. Deal with it. This is not of your own doing. Eugene Peterson in the Message translation of the Bible says it this way: "Now God has us just where he wants us. With all the time in the world, and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's grace from start to finish. We don't play a major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us in Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he's already gotten ready to do, work we'd better be doing. God's grace is God's gift from start to finish. Our job, our role, our work to do is just to receive it, to wrestle with it, to deal with it, to deal with this reality of who God is and what God has done. This verse became really important to me when I was becoming a pastor. It was the summer before my last year of seminary, which is graduate school for pastors, and I had all of these exams I needed to take. They're called ordination exams. So you can't become a Presbyterian pastor until you pass them. So I was at my childhood home, in my childhood room, at my childhood desk, where I'd done all of my studying, all my striving I've ever done was at that desk. And right before I had to take this really big test, I was praying and I wrote out Ephesians 2:8 on a post-it note, and I stuck it up so that it was there as this reminder that no matter how hard I had worked, and I had, and how successful I had been, and I was, the real work that was on display was never about me, but about the God who redeemed me. This verse has become foundational for our next gen ministry because it's what we want to speak over kids and teenagers who are growing up with all kinds of voices telling them that they're only worth anything if they get the grade or make the team or do the solo or get into the school. And that's just not God's truth about who we are. You matter because you are God's masterpiece. God made you and called you good. God delights when you succeed, but God doesn't lose faith in you when you struggle. God loves you. Deal with it. I started off talking about the kinds of perspectives that we gain when we are in relationship with people who are living in different seasons of life. And I love watching that that's even true for our students. Seniors lend perspective to freshmen, and freshmen give guidance to eighth graders. And last week I was even reminded that fifth graders leave kindergartners in their elementary schools as a part of the safety patrol. That perspective that we can share with one another, it comes from moments in our lives when we realize we might have been valuing the wrong things, listening to the wrong people, trusting the wrong friends. Moments when we've decided that the path that we were on was taking us farther away from who God wants us to be and choosing to walk a different way. Times of transition, like going to a new school, like middle school or high school, or moving out of the house, like going to college. These are great times to think about who we are, what matters to us, and how we live in the world. For all of our 2025 graduates we're celebrating today, my challenge to you is to consider the path before you. Is it leading you closer to God and closer to who God wants you to be? Or maybe are you getting a little off track? And do you need help turning around and finding your way back home? My encouragement to you is to remember that this church is full of people with all different stories, who've taken all different kinds of paths and who have gotten lost in all kinds of places, but we found our way here, which means we have perspective and strength and stories and hope to offer you and one another. We're not going anywhere. We will always be the family of God that will help you remember who you are and who God calls you to be. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for this free, undeserved gift of your grace and your son, Jesus. God, would you help us to continue to deal with it, to know what it means for us, to know what it means for the world, and to know how we are supposed to follow you in this world. God, we pray over all of our students who are in the midst of transition, all the parents and caregivers who are walking alongside them in transitions. God, we pray that you would help give us confidence and hope in a future, even when we don't always know what next step to take. We pray all of this in your loving name.